Hey, everybody, a Canadian trucker update as the protest in Ottawa continues. We also have Richard Barris from Big Data Poll to talk about redistricting and how we might lose the House before a vote is even cast. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, to pass down American values from one generation to the other, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. At some point, everyone reaches their breaking point. Our friendly neighbors to the north, the Canadians, they seem to have reached their breaking point over the weekend. Now, if you have not heard about this news story, I just want to emphasize the power of the activist press to be able to suppress and to be able to distract and cover up legitimate stories that are happening in real time. The trucker convoy that has happened all across Canada is nothing short of miraculous. Traveling thousands of miles to the capital city of Ottawa, the Canadian truckers, supported by millions of their fellow Canadians, waltzed right into Ottawa to demand an end to the vaccine mandates. Now, this has been covered, if at all, by the media as trying to propagandize you to believe that this is some sort of fringe minority. Justin Trudeau himself called this a fringe group with unacceptable views. And you might wonder, where is Justin Trudeau? Well, Justin Trudeau, despite being triple vaxxed, boosted, and masking all the time, he has contracted COVID. It's funny how those vaccine mandates work. Justin Trudeau tweeted out, he said, "I have COVID, now go get vaccinated." Or so he says. Maybe that's just an excuse not to address the people in the streets of Ottawa. Now, what's happening in Canada is nothing short of a revival of the citizen. You see, the people need to be rulers of their civilization, not subjects. It is the people who are the sovereign. The representatives, like Justin Trudeau, are supposed to serve at the will of the people. That paradigm has been upside down for quite some time. And Canada is a very interesting example. And Canada is no different, by the way, than San Francisco or Seattle or Portland or New York City in this regard, which is the very same hand that gives you the stimulus check is the same hand that will force the jab into your shoulder. The very same hand that will make you feel safe for the time being by locking everyone down at home is the same hand that will put a mask on your six-year-old daughter. Put simply, the hand that feeds you is also the hand that will mandate you. So Canada is an interesting example for a variety of different reasons, one of which is that Canada has always had this kind of very pleasant atmosphere of living, of existing as neighbors to one another, a very peaceful people, one might call it, a very agreeable people as well. But Canada is also this very interesting example, and Trudeau is a great embodiment of it, of where liberalism takes you. So Trudeau has been an advocate of decriminalizing almost all drugs, but an advocate of the transgender movement. Oh, you just must tolerate them, we are told. We must just accept it. But at the back end of every liberal movement, or the liberalization of people is the inevitable clenched fist that is going to terrorize you. You see, Trudeau positions himself to the people of Canada as a tolerant, almost a 1970s hippie who went too far north in Woodstock and somehow stumbled into the lands of Canada and he's never left. He positions himself as someone who says, we are an accepting, open-minded people. I could play tape after tape after tape after tape of Trudeau saying, we as Canadians, our values are open-mindedness and global thinking. But almost immediately, when their power is threatened, or when they see an opening, they go from someone who is allegedly very tolerant and very open-minded to a third world dictator, saying that we're going to shut down the entire country, we are going to arrest pastors, we are going to do whatever it takes to stop the spread of the invisible virus. How's the American media treating this? Well, cut five. Morning Joe called the truckers a cult and complained that they're vandalizing national monuments. Oh, did you call BLM a cult when they were ripping down statues or when they were burning down federal buildings? Of course not. Play cut five.
The demonstrations were initially aimed at pushback against vaccine mandates for truck drivers crossing the U.S.-Canada border. But the movement escalated into an expression of disapproval with the Canadian government's COVID-19 policies. Officials say several investigations are underway into reports of severe vandalism and criminal behavior, including the desecration of national monuments.
Okay. Now they have met the enemy. And the enemy, their enemy, is themselves, because they've become what they hated.
Coming up.
A cult.
You ever call BLM a cult? Of course not. These are normal people. These are truckers that are trying to fight for their freedom. My heart goes out to them because it's just a matter of time before the Canadian government really locks down on them, clamps down on them. The question is, will the Canadian police and the Canadian military actually take the orders? We'll see. Play cut six. Convoy protesters carefully clean and take care of the Terry Fox Memorial in downtown Ottawa. The exact opposite of what they are told is happening. Play cut six. They're literally cleaning the memorial, not vandalizing the memorial. A Canadian trucker was asked, how long will you stay in Ottawa? Play cut 12.
Why did you feel it was important to come to the event?
Because I want to fight for the freedoms of Canada and my grandchildren and my kids.
All right. And how long do you plan on staying?
I plan on staying until it's over. Until Justin resigns, all mandates are lifted.
All right. And what would you say to Trudeau if he was here right now?
I would ask him if he's going to listen to the people and let the people have a choice, because we don't have a choice in his legislation.
Awesome. Anything else that you want to add?
Freedom!
It's a beautiful thing. They're going to get clamped down on very quickly by the Canadian government. They're going to call them domestic terrorists. Just wait. They're going to say, we have a domestic terrorist uprising. I guarantee you that Justin Trudeau's on the phone right now with his friends from the FBI in America. How do I deal with this? Just call them domestic terrorists and everything gets better. He's probably asking American intelligence to spy on them, because technically they can, because it's a foreign country. He's probably asking the NSA, hey, can you spy on them and get some intelligence on who these people are, who's organizing them? People are rising up in Canada. Citizens want their country back. There's so much more I want to cover with that. Look, you got to start the new year off with free meat. Good Ranchers is giving away 40 free chicken breasts to every order that use my code, Charlie. That's $150 for free. They want to help you kick the new year off right with a box of 100% American, 110% delicious chicken, beef, and seafood. eat better, eat healthier, cook more meals at home, and enjoy loads of flavor with one of their many boxes. This is pasture-raised, antibiotic-free, better than organic chicken. It comes individually packaged, vacuum-sealed, pre-trimmed, and best of all, right now, it's free. Meal prep and meal time has never been easier because of their pre-seasoned flavors that go straight into the pan and taste absolutely incredible. Every Good Ranchers order supports American farms and ranches, donates meals to food banks, and helps you reach your goals. Take advantage of this limited-time offer today. Use code CHARLIE at checkout or visit goodranchers.com/CHARLIE for your 40 chicken breasts for free. Save $150 with this deal, and it's a great way to start off the year. Stock up on quality beef, chicken, and seafood that makes a difference in your life and others. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie to start 2022 off on the best note possible free delicious meat. People love Good Ranchers. I could tell you the response we get is so overwhelming, so positive. 40 free chicken breasts, delicious, tender, juicy, better than organic, $150 free, antibiotic free, hormone free, pasture raised. Check it out right now, goodranchers.com/Charlie. I talked to some friends in Canada over the weekend, great people, really godly and strong and American-loving people. And they said to me, Charlie, I told you, you know, we Canadians are really polite, but you push us so much, we're going to fight back. And that's what's happening right now in Canada. And what's been amazing to see is how the American media has joined in the chorus of trying to clamp down on these Canadian truckers. But what would you expect? It's not like it's the Canadian transgender march. It's not the Canadian Indigenous Peoples march. No, this is the muscular class. And guess what? I guarantee it. You ready? If this thing continues, I'm going to make a prediction here. Somebody somewhere is going to say, well, it's a mostly white trucker group. Well, this is the muscular class. The very same group of people that the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bezos, all these people have total contempt for. What you are seeing happen in Canada is a blue collar revival. We need truckers to keep our entire supply chain together. Also, just from like kind of a lack of wisdom perspective, Trudeau, not exactly smart to antagonize truckers when you already can't get food and things on the shelves. Not exactly wise, but he doesn't care. Trudeau came out of hiding to prophesy that there will be 3 more months of winter. Oh no, that's the groundhog. I'm sorry. That happens tomorrow, right? February 1st, is that right? Am I right? Groundhog Day? It's a great movie with Bill Murray. Justin Trudeau, there has been a sighting. We found him. Man, he looks like Fidel Castro. Oh my goodness, does he look like Fidel Castro. Acts like him too. Play cut 14.
Hello everyone. Bonjour tout le monde. Ce matin, je veux m'adresser aux millions de Canadiens.
This morning, I'd like to address the millions of Canadians who are making responsible decisions to ensure their safety and the safety of their loved ones. I know that this pandemic has been frustrating.
After 2 years, the battle against COVID-19 is still dominating so many parts of our lives. This virus affects us all.
So, can we play cut 13 of Pierre Poilievre? I love all these French names, by the way. I'm just getting up to date of Canadian politics. Pierre Poilievre, do we have that? Okay, this is a member of Parliament in Canada. Play cut 13.
Governments have taken advantage of COVID to try and take away our freedom and give themselves more power, starting with Trudeau, whose deputy PM said that this was a political opportunity. And that's how the Liberals have viewed this from the very beginning, as a political opportunity. And right now they're trying to win popularity by targeting what they perceive as an unpopular minority to spread fear, keep everyone afraid for as long as possible, is what the Liberals are doing. So we have to replace that fear with freedom and optimism. So that's why we're here.
Yeah.
So why does Trudeau have such contempt for the truckers? Well, very simply, Trudeau has contempt for those who do work that he could never do. You think that Trudeau could actually ever lift a box or actually ever drive a car? Of course. I mean, he could drive a car, of course, I'm saying, but it's tough work. Trudeau's a very weak person. He was born into a political family, never worked an honest day in his life. He's been the worst prime minister of my life of Canada. I don't follow Canadian politics that closely, but he has been just so incredibly tyrannical and out of touch with the people of Canada for quite some time. And he almost has no self-awareness of how shallow he is, what constituency he's serving. I'm not exactly sure. Do we have that tape? Which one? 16? Yeah? Play cut 16.
I have attended protests and rallies in the past when I agreed with the goals, when I supported the people expressing their concerns and their issues. Black Lives Matter is an excellent example of that. But I have also chosen to not go anywhere near protests that have expressed hateful rhetoric, violence towards fellow citizens, and a disrespect not just of science, but of the frontline health workers and, quite frankly, the 90% of truckers who have been doing the right thing to keep.
Incredible. No, BLM is fine. All that burning and looting, just blowing off steam. Peaceful truckers to Ottawa, you're the problem. There's a collision course between the elites and the people, and it's playing out in Canada right now. Right now with us is Richard Barris from Big Data Polls, smarter and better looking than Nate Silver. And Richard, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
I love that introduction. Thanks for having me back, Charlie. It's good to be here.
Every time. So I'm hearing a lot of different whispers from people. I'm getting some calls from senators and congressmen, and I was texting last night with some people that are rather important, all about this issue of maps. Now, I know some people might be listening to this on radio and say, what are you talking about, maps? Okay, every 10 years, we have to redraw our maps, congressional maps, because of the census. And Richard, in certain states, let's start with New York, it is a bloodbath. Take it away.
Yeah, Republicans are timid. They're playing a timid game here. You look at somewhere like New York, California, even out in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, New Mexico, what Democrats are generally doing, which we should have expected because people like Alyssa Slotkin openly said they would, Mark Elias and company in the DCCC are using more urban votes to carve out, you know, the swingy areas and also more right-leaning areas to basically dilute those votes with larger urban votes. Now, their argument is it's all about population, Charlie, but it's not. I mean, every state can be a little bit different. Some states have a legislature doing it. Others, like California, have a commission doing it. The bottom line is, in Virginia, by the way, Sean Trendy from Real Girl Politics was on that. And Virginia is another example. It's not all about population. It's also about geography. And there's a reason why it is. People have to be represented. Urban America is very different. So in New York, using Albany to carve out, you know, rural votes to the north, you know, it's obvious what they're doing. Now, the latest one in New York with the fourth Republican seat, the latest proposal, is not terrible. It's not as good as the other one. They were trying to go as low as two Republican seats. But what they're doing, and they did this in New York, is either completely miss the deadline, Charlie, or wait until the very last minute. And that is to avoid public commenting. So or at least to shorten it so they don't get completely battered by the public over it. You know, but they're playing to win, and Republicans are playing timid, as always.
So what are some of the other states? Because this was supposed to be a good kind of redistricting cycle for Republicans, but it's turning out not to be. What are some of the other states that aren't going the direction they should be?
Right. So they use Portland. They basically carved Portland up into three different areas. Actually, I think the latest map was four to dilute some of the member Dino Rossi. Mm-hmm. He's another one out in Washington state where they tried to basically use the more urban areas. But Albuquerque, New Mexico is another one. They split it right down the middle, you know, basically diluting the rest of the vote statewide. And in California, Devin Nunes was completely written out. And I have the inside story because I was involved there. At the very last minute, the deadline, the commission completely blew past it. They had all of these different iterations that received public comment. And then at the very last minute, the establishments from the parties and special interest groups, which I don't know what LGBT special interest groups have to do with redistricting, but they came in and they just wrote a totally new map, and that's the map the commission adopted. Devin Nunez was still written out of that map, but also David Valadao, his seat is now D plus 10. He's probably going to lose. I don't know how he, even in a good year, it may be hard for David to hold on. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy's sitting pretty. But that's really, those maps are designed to keep challengers out, to benefit the left, and then keep out challengers. And now, that's what happened.
Now, aren't there some court rulings, though, that show they can't explicitly gerrymander, or are the Democrats just ignoring that and they're going ahead and doing it anyway?
They're good at shopping. I mean, this is what Mark Elias does. You know, and then again, it's like there was a judge who said it once, you know, it's difficult to define gerrymandering. It's like pornography. It's difficult to define, but you know it when you see it. So they're very good at that. That map in New York will survive probably if they leave the 4R map. That will probably survive a court challenge. Out in California, nobody's even trying, Charlie. Nobody's even trying. In fact, they wrote a new district, which is actually very winnable. I polled it. It's the new CD 13. They beefed up Jim Costa, who was in danger of losing his old seat in 16, the old 16, even though he had won it by 20 something points. That's how bad Republicans are beating Democrats in these districts right now. But CD 13 is up for grabs. Adam Gray, a Democrat, is getting all the local Republican support. I kid you not. This is the it's really when it comes down to it. You know, voters, Republican voters need to demand more from their leaders because they just roll over, buddy. I mean, they just roll right over.
So talk about these alleged independent redistricting commissions. They're anything but independent is what it seems. It seems
like
it always. So talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, full disclosure, I poll for David Giglio, he's running in the new 13. So this is how I saw this process. They are not at all. Yeah, they are not at all impartial. Even the Republicans are your typical kind of establishment. I don't like using the word moderate. Moderate means you don't know what. If you're moderate, then you don't know what you believe. I don't know what that means. But basically, they are more timid Republicans. They know they are outvoted in that state, so they just play nice. Even in the again, it's not really nonpartisan. The idea that these are not like legislatures, so they're not politically motivated at all, is totally ridiculous. I mean, I see people like David Wasserman and others making that argument. That's nonsense. They pick up the phone from special interest groups. They know everybody. Everybody's got a friend. That's how you end up on that commission. And the reason I don't like them is because in Virginia, for instance, if the voters of Virginia don't like that map and they're mad, they can hold their state legislature accountable. They can't do that now. How can they hold Sean Trendy accountable, right? They can't. So they just completely take this power out of the hands of voters and put it into the hands of commissions, which everybody got, a say in who gets on it. And then everybody, you know, gets a call into their buddy to make sure that their seat is either shored up or another challenger is drawn out. It's nonsense. So, nonpartisan.
So coming into November, we're told there's going to be a red wave. I believe that. But if the maps are so terrible, that red wave might turn from an R plus 35 majority to an R plus 10 or 15. How bad is it nationwide? Truly, maybe I'm misreading this, Richard, but are Republicans generally losing the redistricting fight nationwide?
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. And then in states like North Carolina, they were bold in North Carolina. But I would argue they you know, everyone's different, right? Everyone has a different opinion. Somebody on the left probably would not like what happened in North Carolina, but that's, you know, like you said, every 10 years we get the census. The general consensus in North Carolina was that Eastern North Carolina did not get surveyed properly. So there's that argument there. Republicans are fighting in a state like that. But Florida, which is getting more and more Republican every day, the governor has to come out and say, this is what the map should look like. I mean, that's how ridiculous Republicans are. That being said, even in the latest poll we just put out a few days ago, it's Republican plus 7 on the generic ballot. That's a big lead, Charlie. I mean,
Richard, I agree. Yeah. But in six years from now, all of a sudden we're going to be dealing with such bad maps. And let's say the generic is D plus 3 and it becomes a blowout beyond anything we should have ever happened, right? So why are Republicans?
That concern's valid, Charlie. Yeah, that concern's valid.
Why are Republicans so sheepish with this? Because 10 years ago, Republicans were rather enthusiastic about designing maps that would benefit Republicans. And look, it's – I wish it wasn't the case. I wish we lived in a different country where everyone got along. But it's kind of brass knuckle politics. It's like, OK, in New York, you're going to turn Lee Zeldin's district from R plus 4 to D plus 11. Like, OK, welcome to Texas. We're not going to let that happen. You know, that's the way it should work. But it seems like Republicans are trying to take this alleged higher road or higher ground. Or is it they're afraid of the DOJ? Or what is it? I can't quite understand it.
Yeah, you know, I talked to some – you just mentioned Texas. I really think that some of it is, you know, regular Republican weakness, which is something we've been dealing with for a long time. In 10, they had to undo a lot of Democratic dominance with the boundaries. You know, Democrats screaming gerrymandering over a place like Texas. Democrats had gerried for the better part of the 20th century going into the new millennium. So this was a kind of a ridiculous argument to make. But Republicans this time around, I think they are afraid of the DOJ. I do. And I know some are in Texas. So I did speak to somebody and they were lamenting, you know, look over to the west, just right to look at what they did with Albuquerque. And they're having a problem with us. They're going to target us. You know, when people play political lawfare, then things get crazy, Charlie. You know, they get crazy and people, you know, they fear it. They do.
Yeah. Republicans aren't ready for
combo.
That fight. Yeah. They're not ready for that fight at all. So what state, if any, is going well for Republicans in redistricting?
North Carolina went well. Ohio went well because the fear there was that, you know, DeWine was going to be kind of weak and not spearheaded. But that did all right. Florida, folks, you got to look at Florida. the Governor DeSantis's map that he released, I think, is a little bit ridiculous, but it's a beginning bargaining position. Right. So you start with what your most ideal situation would be. And then you guys kind of, you know, trade and you horse trade for the rest. That's the way it's done. So in Florida, it could really turn out, Charlie, where Democrats get at least one seat, maybe two, that they really shouldn't have anymore. And by the way, just so everybody, I really have to mention this. This is why Trump wanted the census to ask about immigration status.
No kidding.
Because Albany and Kings County, you know, they wouldn't be able to make these arguments if they, you know, if we knew the percentage
of
the population.
No, we count illegals in the census.
Illegal.
So we have foreign
yes,
nationals that are counted in our allocation of citizens. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. And SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated, SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. Safety brings together your friends, family, team, club business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team quite well, and they are true patriots of the mission of dedicating themselves to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. So how popular is Joe Biden, Richard?
Pretty unpopular. So the last and I told people this was going to happen. Joe Biden does not have a base. Excuse me. Everybody needs to remember this as we move forward. He never had a base. He was we called him the great unremarkable. You know, Donald Trump had, you know, 40% of the country, 38-40%. It would constantly tell us they strongly approve of the job he does. No matter what he did, it wasn't going to budge. Obama was the same way. Joe Biden is always mired in the 20s with that number, if he's lucky. Strongly disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing. Charlie is now at the number Trump and Obama had for people who loved them, who strongly approved of them. So after COVID, it became clear on COVID where he did have high marks in our polling for a while. But after it became clear that he, you know, wasn't really going to be better at handling the pandemic and that approval started to fall, it all collapsed for him. On immigration, he's in the low 30s. Foreign policy, the low 30s. On all of the measures of a president, he is in the 30s. Overall, we have met about 39%. there's still some goodwill there over the pandemic, but we have him now. He fell into the low 40s for the pandemic. So, and a good 55% disapproving. So, you know, you can almost overlap those two trends. And there's, and right now, what we saw in this poll was a crack in the Democratic base. The liberal, the far more left wing, you know, side of the Democratic Party is joining with the very few remaining conservative Democrats in disliking him. So Democratic approval now is almost 20% in our poll.
Wow.
We haven't seen base fracture like that. I've never polled a president in my career with base fracture like that. Last time, because I did go back to look to see when the last time that happened to a president, it was Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
So that's where Biden is. That's the real deal with him.
As relentless they attacked Trump, his base only grew. It never fractured. Yeah. It stayed with him throughout the entire presidency. So we have about 3 minutes remaining, Richard. What do you think that means for the midterms? And what is the Democrats' strategy going to be? Because they're going to try to do all sorts of different tricks and all sorts of different surprises, because they're not going to accept these numbers. They know they're catastrophic. What could their plan potentially be?
That's what redistricting was part of that plan. So they know what's coming. They're not fooling themselves. You know, the idea, though, I was reading an article in Politico. They're fundamentally misunderstanding their problem. So they think they've done a lot and they're bad at communicating to the American people what they've done. No, what you have done is unpopular. If you look at that poll, Charlie, that we did, we asked about shortages, we asked about inflation, and on typical grocery store items, inflation has now overtaken jobs and the economy is the number one issue. Coronavirus is a very distant number three and almost tied with immigration. So, and when we asked people about COVID, why did you pick COVID? Only about half of them said that's because they think we're getting too loose. We need to, you know, get more strict mitigation measures. The other half picked it because they can't stand the mandates. So it's not even a universally positive issue for Democrats at this point. We asked about those shortages and, you know, over 70% are experiencing shortages when it comes to things like paper goods. 80% of the country is paying more for meat and poultry. And the numbers are horrid. They're horrid. I mean, it looked third world. It really looked like I was pulling a third world nation.
Well, it feels like we're living in a third world nation. I mean, you go to a grocery store recently, you don't have employees, they don't have bottles of water. The entire supply chain is completely and totally disrupted. What do Republicans need to do to not mess this up? Because it sure looks like a good equation for what would be called a red tsunami.
Yeah, they need to. There is still some time in some of these states to change course to fix these redistricting efforts. But secondly, and I think the most important is that there is a very large chunk of voters. If they come out, they don't really identify as Republican. They just like Donald Trump. If they come out and vote, it's going to be an even bigger problem for Democrats than it would be in a normal electorate. And the only way to get them out there, Charlie, is to do what you say you're going to do. So if you tell voters you're going to fight, then fight. You know, all these people want, all they want is someone to stand up for them. That's why they like Donald Trump so much. That's why he could do no wrong with these people. It didn't matter what he did. He was their guy. They defended him and they knew they could count on him. They don't believe that with Republicans. There's this, you know, tremendous opportunity in some of these districts that, you know, normally Republicans would not be able to win. But this year, this shift, especially among Hispanic working men, is it got to be terrifying to Democrats. It has to be.
Looks that way. Richard, thank you so much. People's Pundit and Big Data Poll, Richard Barris, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.